What's cracking, everybody, and welcome to episode 145 of the Good Cracking Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Arnell Pearson, alongside the Crimson Chin himself, Garrick Barthar. Garrick Geeky, what's happening, baby? How you doing?
I'm exhausted, bro. Help. SOS.
Yeah.
Need sleep.
Yeah, bit of
save our sleep.
Bit of an adjustment coming from your summer break, huh?
Yeah, literally, like, went from, like, going to sleep at 4 a.m. to, like, waking up at, like, 6 a.m. and, like, a 24-hour turnaround. I'm experiencing some whiplash at the present.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure, dude. Did you get that desk yet?
No.
How long is it going to be? Do they know? Okay. All right.
I have no idea. When I know, you'll know.
You beat me to the punch. You were like, don't ask. Oh, man. I'm sorry, dude. That's fucking up. Are the kids good at least? Are the kids great?
Yeah. So far, they seem pretty good. I have like a My Hero Academia like lanyard I wear. It has like all my badges and keys and stuff on, you know, all that fun stuff on it. And like the fifth graders finally noticed it today. And so they were just like, dude, it's so funny. Like, it's always so funny to me because, like, I feel like for the most part, like, the adults in their lives are just, like, regular adults. And so, like, they saw my lanyard and they're like, bro, you like anime? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you guys want to hear something else? I'm like, I play video games, too. And they're like, oh! Yeah, dude, like kids, like, they lose their mind over that shit. They're like, he watches anime and he plays video games. This dude's a god. Like, dude, children are so easily impressed. I love it.
And then you just tell them that, like, you watch One Piece. Just to see what they say.
I was on lunch duty today, and like I was hanging out, and like I was like just like chit chat with some of the kiddos while they were like eating or whatever. And a student like shouted, he was just like, you know what anime you should watch? I was like, he's just like One Piece. And I'm just like, My little dude. I'm like, I'm 30 years old. I was like, do you understand how long it would take me to watch One Piece? No, thank you. He literally was just like, that's fair.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, who the fuck can blame us, right? It's like, what?
Yeah, I ain't
like
got time for that.
1,800 episodes.
No, like, dude. One Piece is not something you watch. That shit is like a lifestyle. I feel like if you're still in it with One Piece at this point, like, you've committed like a portion of your life to keeping up with this anime. Like, that's dedication that I don't have.
Far more than I would ever have in my life.
Dude, like, Bleach has like 300 some odd episodes, and every time I rewatch it, I skip all the filler, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. I'm just like, nope, all meat, no potatoes. Thank you. Like, I was just like, I have things I need to be doing. I'm just doing this for the nostalgia and the serotonin. Like, let's wrap it up.
And see, that's what my hesitation is with finally, like, diving into Naruto, is because it's like, I know that there's a, like, quicker way to watch it. I know all that good jazz, but it's like, even with the quicker way to watch it, like, there's still a lot. There's still a fucking quite a bit that I have to go through.
That's the thing, like, about Naruto is I think, like, even without all the filler, it's still, like, over 300 episodes between, like, Naruto and Shippuden.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot. It's a whole lot of anime. It's just, like, there's so much filler. Like, there's whole arcs in the anime version that are just, like, not relevant. Like, at all to anything that happened in the manga. It's just some pure side bullshit. Like, but, like, the thing is it's probably, like, one of the best shonens out there. And, like, the power creep happens in, like, such a slow way that, like, dude, there are some fights that I'll never forget in that anime. Like, literally, like, they're, like, top 10. And the thing is, like, some of them are so clipped so many times. Like, the Rock Lee Gaara fight, like, you've probably seen it.
No, I definitely know.
But the thing is, like, that shit is not overhyped at all. It goes that dumb every time. Dude, if I'm scrolling TikTok, I will, and, like, I see that shit, I'm just like, I'm gonna rewatch it, and I will, yeah. Mm. I'll watch the whole fight scene again, and I'm just like, yep, that was still bitching. And, like, the Naruto pain fight, and, like, dude, the Sasuke, when Sasuke and Madara and Naruto fight, and like Sasuke and Itachi. There's so many good fights. There's so many good fights in that anime. Like the whole Zabuza arc is just the shit. Like the whole Village Hidden in the Mist like arc is rad.
God damn, man. God damn, dude.
Dude, it's such a good little anime, bro.
I'll get to it, man. I'll get to it, I promise you. For now, though, in the meantime, we're going to go into Saving Batman, Big Dragon Energy, Why We Don't Buy Gaming Guides Anymore, and Bad much...
Dragon Energy?
Big Dragon Energy, baby. You know what it is. You know what fucking it is, baby. And much, much more, because this is a good Kraken podcast. Your choice for all the nerdy video game pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want to hear live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. If you're riding this wave, you can head on over to our Discord channel, where you can soon submit questions and topics to the show. You already can for Shipwreck. Soon, you'll also get exclusive content and have early access before episodes go live on podcasts and video services across the digital sea.
Yarr.
But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that is totally fine. You can watch us record the show live right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. If you have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime. We would love for you to give that to us to help keep us pushing content out for all of you listening or watching at home. But you can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, by clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there.
Reviews.
Garrick.
So
we have some captain's orders, my friends. First off, guys, we won't be doing going live posts anymore for our podcast recording. So the way this is going to work is that gameplay, new episodes going live on podcast platforms, and special events, things like our Good Kraken Town Hall that we do every year, things like that. We will be putting out posts for those things. But as far as our live recordings are concerned, like Pancho says, the best podcast on Twitch. Pancho, we fucking love you, dude. We love you so goddamn much. Don't do that to me right now,
baby.
That's
a hell of a compliment.
I'm all fucking sensitive this past week. You can't be doing that to me right now, all right? You can't be doing that to me. We won't be doing going live posts anymore. We're trying to find ways to sort of like liquidate the amount of times that like you guys are seeing us on your timelines and stuff to make them more impactful, to help you guys kind of really feel like when you come in here, you're coming into something that is not just a day-by-day process. You guys come in here because you want to hang out with us, because it is a bit of an event to be able for us to be able to spend some time with you. And we want to make sure that we're doing that to the best of our ability. So keep your eyes open on our Twitter, which is where we're most active at. But if you want to follow us on Instagram, hit us up on Facebook. It's at Good Kraken Show across all platforms. For our all of our content as they go live, you will still get updates, but just hang tight. We put out our schedule every week. Every week, whether it's in our Discord, we have a weekly schedule thing. I create and post an ad mat on our Good Kraken stuff every single Monday. We get that out to you guys so you guys can know what exactly our schedule is for the rest of the week. With that said, our other captain's order is it got announced today. The 2022 Game Awards is Thursday, December 8th, and we are going to be doing a live reaction.
Mark your calendars.
Goddamn, mark your calendars, babies. We're going to be doing a live reaction to that night as it comes along. You can come in here, hang out with us, react to all the awards, react to all the fucking dope trailers that we're going to get during that showcase. Please come in. Please come hang out with us. It is always a good time every time we do live reactions. You guys make it so much fun when we do live reactions. Dude, like fucking Game Awards last year, E3 last year. Dude, like
I love
every
live reactions.
Oh my god, it's so much fun, dude. We have
Game
the
Awards
best
is
time.
The best one too, because it's like the Oscars, bro.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
we need
good.
To make up like a bingo card or something this year for when we do it.
Look at the water.
Do like an Oscars bingo, but like for Game Awards.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Surreal says hydrate. We gotta hydrate. I love you, Surreal. Thank you, baby. Pancho, follow on IG. Just do it. Don't make me ask again, please. Thank you, Pancho. Thank you. I love you. I love you. Garrick, tell the people at home what we have next, my friend.
Good news. Good news. Things that that some of us, I know I was a little worried about because we hadn't been confirmed one way or the other after Warner Brothers broke the internet last week. But hey, The Batman 2 is confirmed to still be happening. Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson returning.
Before you dive into that, though, we're going into the helm. Go on, Garrett.
My pacing's a little off. Devin's not here, bro.
I know. Weird. This motherfucker going out here. And you know what? He's not even fighting squirrels anymore. He's out seeing Polyphia right now, okay? That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing, all right? Oh. I'm going to rat on him right now. That's what he's out
anyway,
seeing.
Sorry. Yeah. No. We're doing the helm. And because I fucked up the transition, I'll tell you guys what the helm is real quick.
Okay.
So the helm is our news segment. Y'all, and it's where we compile all the news stories and the juicy little tidbits over like the last week, and then we give them back to you in a nice little presentation.
Yes,
way. Let's go. Now, without further ado,
yes,
Batman 2 is still happening. Confirmed to still be happening. Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson will be returning, respectively. And this is coming from Kofi Outlaw at comicbook.com. The confirmation of the Batman 2 comes as part of a feature on Matt Reeves' new multi-year first-look deal with Warner Brothers Discovery through his sixth and Idaho production company. The decision comes with from new Warner Brothers Pictures Group co-chairs and CEOs Michael DeLuca and Pamela Abdi, who were brought in by Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav. Jesus, like that's so easy to do backwards, Zaslav. Like sound wise. Zaslav. I really wanted to read it, Zaslav. To replace Toby Emmerich, the situation with the Batman 2 has been something of a will they or won't they moment for the newly formed Warner Brothers Discovery. Soon after the Batman's release, Emmerich took a public stage at CinemaCon 2022 and announced that the Batman 2 was happening. Matt Reeves took one of our most iconic and beloved superheroes and delivered a fresh vision that clearly resonated with audiences, and with your incredible support, shattered box office records around the world, which is one of the reasons I'm excited to break the news that Matt, Rob Pattinson, and the whole team will be taking audiences back to Gotham with the Batman 2, Emmerich stated.
Thank fucking God, man. I was so worried that we were never going to see another one of these Rob Batman.
Dude, I was a little sweating it too. Like, after the murder, I was just like, shit. I was like, but there's no way they weren't. I had a gut feeling that they, like, I was just like, nah, they can't get rid of it, right? Because, like, it did so well, and it was so well written, and it was just such a different take on, like, the representation of Gotham. And I'm so glad it's getting a sequel, and I'm so glad that it's safe.
Yeah,
I was actually big stressed about it. This and Blue Beetle were like the two things I was worried about, and they're both safe, and I'm good now. God,
for serious, dude. I need Blue Beetle real fucking soon. We need our boy out here. Rob Patty Cyril says yes.
Pattinson, yes. Batfleck, no. Like, that's my opinion on it. I'm sorry.
I know there are those of you
who like him, but not for me.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mind him. I thought he was an okay Bruce Wayne at the very least. I don't think we really got a chance to really see him too much as Batman, all things considered. But this is awesome, dude. I think that the Batman one, we rated it like a 9, something like that. It was like real high up on the scale for us, and so I know that we all like really, really adored the Batman. And like, what an incredible way to introduce us to a potential new trilogy is kind of what this feels like it's trying to aim for here. And my heart would have been broken to see them just drop the ball on this, to end up like, imagine we get another Batman. Imagine if we got another fucking Batman, because this gets cut and they have to pull in another thing.
I'd be so pissed. Mm-hmm. I would just be so jaded at that point. And like, honestly, I was initially kind of jaded to the Batman, because mm-hmm. I was just like, you can't, like, come on. Like, because I wasn't impressed with Batfleck at all. And I was just like, nope, the Nolan trilogy is still like best Batman, like, period. Mm-hmm. And then like the Batman came along, and I'm just like, ooh, that might be that might be a, you know, like a take on like new best Batman like representation, depending on who you talk to. So I want to see more of that. It was just different enough.
Yeah, yeah, that's for damn sure. Pancho need another Flash for sure. Cough, cough. Goddamn, ain't that fast. God, we need Ezra the fuck out of here, dude. Like, they have just been acting like a goddamn fool for fucking weeks now, dude. I'm so glad that they fucking got arrested. Like, they were punching my people in our islands, man. Like, can you fucking believe that shit? Like, anyways, I'm not going to dive too into it. You guys covered it a lot on Saturday. But, yeah, we need a big change in the DCEU, and the Batman was a good direction. The Batman wasn't one of them. Yeah, it wasn't one of the changes that needed to happen. It was a step in the right direction towards change. They needed to follow through with that to expand on that new Batman universe that they gave us here. And yeah, I got good feels about it, dude. I got good feels about it. I got good feels about other things too. Garrick, my man, what's the next story, my dude?
Ooh, we have HBO calls House of the Dragon its biggest premiere ever with nearly 10 million U.S. viewers. This is coming from Richard Lawyer at The Verge. The original Game of Thrones series closed out its run with 13.7 million live viewers on linear channels for the finale in 2019, clocking over 19 million views with the addition of streaming and video on demand numbers. According to HBO, ahead of the Dragon premiere, that was worded really funny and it tripped me up. Because the head of the dragon sound like I was just like, that's not how you say the House of the Dragon. ahead of the dragon premiere. Interested in the original series, with the entire series now available for streaming in 4K on HBO Max, spiked a drawing in weekly average in streaming for August that was up 90% in July. While it's hard to compare the numbers exactly, they are notable for HBO and HBO Max, and come following a couple of weeks of bewildering choices by its new corporate partner, Warner Brothers Discovery. Recently, execs tossed the intended for HBO Max Batgirl movie into the vault, dropped many shows from streaming, including some beloved animated titles, and yanked hundreds of episodes of Sesame Street from HBO Max. Shucks. Now, new episodes of The House of Dragon will pop up every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time until its first season ends on October 23rd.
Fuck yeah, dude. This first episode was so rad. It was so rad. Did you watch it, Garrett?
Was it good?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I don't know. I didn't finish Game of Thrones, and I didn't really, like, feel compelled to finish Game of Thrones. So I don't know if I care enough to watch this, but also, this has Matt Smith in it, and I hear he, like, kills it in his role, and, like, that might be enough.
How, when you say I didn't finish Game of Thrones, right? Where did you stop? What does that mean?
How many seasons were there?
8.
Ooh, between 4 and 6 is where I stopped.
Garrick! Garrick!
I'm pretty sure I finished 6 and I never watched 7 and 8. That sounds about right in my head.
7's the best, easily the best goddamn season of all of it. And then, oh, God. Garrick, you haven't.
Dude, I never felt compelled to finish it. I was just like, because you
stop right when things get juicy, man. Come on, man. Did you watch the Battle of the Bastards? Did you watch that? So I think that's season 5. I think that's season 5. Here, let me find out. Let me confirm.
What was the Battle of the Bastards? I don't necessarily know. Like,
you would know. You would know. You would know. It is when Jon Snow's army faces off against the Bolton army. Because they're both bastards. That's why it's called that. The bastard sons of... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep,
don't,
no, exactly. Know, yeah, you would know. You would know. Let's see. Battle of the Bastards. Okay, that was season 6. Okay, so you did not hit that. So you must have stopped at season 5.
Yeah, so I didn't finish season 6.
Yep.
Because I know I definitely watched at least part of it, but I know for that I probably didn't finish it, and I honestly probably won't. I am at peace with not watching. So.
But Garrick, season 8,
Serenity, dude.
Season 8, episode 4. Okay, that's where it should have fucking ended, right, Pancho? Right, y'all? Right, chat? That's where they should have ended it, at the White Walkers and Arya. Okay, that's where they should have fucking ended it. God damn it. But I'm stoked because this first episode was actually incredible. And Matt Smith does fucking kill it. Very weird whiplash moment seeing him fuck on a screen. So I will give you pre-warning.
Oh, yeah. Forget this is Game of Thrones sort of thing. So, yeah.
He does beat cheeks on the show. It was interesting seeing him do that for the first time. But he has kind of like... Because his character is a dick. he's not necessarily...
Oh, he's a Targaryen, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, even some of the Targaryens of this time aren't necessarily all dicks, but, like, he's, like, the dick of the family, right? Like, he's the dick. He's not necessarily a villain because he does have moments where they show him, like, displaying empathy, displaying things, like, with the family, the dynamics that have to do with it, that he actually gives a fuck about some people. But he's a very interesting villain so far, and I think his take on this character is, Daemon Targaryen, by the way, is super interesting because, like, he looks the part in a way that I, like, was not suspecting. Because they put him in this role because I think they didn't necessarily want him to, like, look like a fucking snake, you know what I mean? Like that, like, swoovly, like, pretty boy asshole that, like, that this character technically, like, would be in, like, any other piece of content. They didn't want him to necessarily be that. And so, like, I think them casting Matt Smith was because, like, one, we need a good actor, right? But also, two, like, they need someone that just, like, he's not intimidating because he's, like, this smooth, pretty boy with, like, big brain battle moves that he's doing. But he's just, like, generally just, like, a dude who, like, he looks like he's a Targaryen. Okay, let's just put it that way. But Pancho says he gives me Scar vibes from, like, Lion King. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
He makes a surprisingly good, like, bad guy. Surprisingly good. And, like, way better than he did in fucking Morbius, to tell you that. You think his agents have been, like, signing up for villain roles because he's just been a nice guy all this goddamn time?
He was, like, a really, really nice guy in Doctor Who, so.
Yeah, like, super nice guy. yeah, I don't know, man.
Like, maybe he just wanted to branch out.
Maybe. To be fair. Garrick, you need to fucking watch this, man. I want so badly for you to be a part of the movement, Garrick, like, so goddamn badly. Like, I want to be watching these episodes and you be like, yo, what the fuck, man? Like, as the season goes up, Garrick.
See, the nice thing is, like, I can get into this show and it doesn't really matter if I fucking finish Game of Thrones or not.
Do you know how Game of Thrones ends?
Yes, I know how Game of Thrones ends, and I know what this story leads up to. Like, I understand where it goes. It only has one ending, right? Like, it leads up to, like, the deposing of the Mad King.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I understand, so, like, I don't know, like, I might, only because, like, I liked the earlier seasons of Game of Thrones. Like, I like where they were going and stuff. So, we'll see.
And the thing is, too, I don't think... Yeah, like, it should be leading straight to the Mad King, just based on, like, the timeline. Because it's 175 years, I believe is what it said. 170, 180, one of the two, prior to what happens with Daenerys in Song of Ice and Fire. And so,
right.
I think based on that timeline, it should lead straight into the Mad King, based on just what we're looking at here. But this is more focused around the Targaryen princess that Daenerys is directly related to, because they're all family fuckers. But keep up with it, doggy dog. I want to see if you're here for the fucking ride, my man. You know what I mean?
All right. I'll look into it a little more. I was considering watching it. Like, I wasn't, like, opposed to it. I just didn't give a crap about finishing fucking Game of Thrones. I still don't. So
you fucking should have been, baby.
Who knows? Like maybe this one will pique my interest and keep it a little longer. We'll see.
That's what Daddy likes to hear, baby. That's what Daddy likes to hear. Daddy also likes going over some Gamescom opening night announcements, because today we had the opening day of Gamescom, and every single year at Gamescom opening night, we have the one, the only, the Game Awards creator, Jeff himself, come out, and he does a big presentation where they announce a bunch of new games they're going to be coming out. And we have the rundown for you guys. So firstly, we had a big announcement for a game called Everywhere from an ex-Rockstar developer. And this game looked super, super interesting. Developer build a Rocket Boy Games, which includes formerly developer of the GTA series at Rockstar Games, Leslie Benzies, has revealed a first look at his brand new IP. Hey Saint, oh my god, hi, hello, we love you. The open world game aims to blend thrilling gameplay, creativity, adventure, and discovery in a multi-world gaming experience. Looked super interesting. Looked really, 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 really fucking cool. But then soon after that, we got a trailer for a game called Dune Awakening. It's supposed to be an open-world survival MMO set in the Dune universe. Garrick, my dude.
Dude, I know. I saw it. It's going to take place on Arrakis. I'm super fucking hyped, dude.
Goddamn,
dude. Because, like, when I saw Spice Wars, I was just like, yes. And then it was, like, an RTS, and I was like, no. Mm. And yep. But this is, like, this is an open-world MMO survival game. And, like, that, like, a couple of those verbiages makes me, like, a little, but I don't know. I don't care. I'm going to play it either way.
I know, dude, right? Oh, God, I need it. I need it. Say, what happened to Arnell's hair? I've been gone. Yeah, my bar removed. My bar removed, and I was getting frustrated with my hair, so I just, you know, cut, snip, snip, you know what I'm saying? Dip my head in a boiling pot of oil. The developer also revealed that the beta registration is now open for a chance to play the game early. So make sure you guys sign up if you want to get your hands on early access. And then Sony revealed the new DualSense Edge controller for PlayStation 5. This is what is basically PlayStation 5's Elite controller.
Mm-hmm.
Looked real good. Honestly, I'm sucked in. Like, I want this fucking controller real bad. I'll tell you what.
Well, enjoy it, because you're the only one of us here with a PlayStation 5. So.
You're fucking am, Garrick. I mean, you too can get one. Amazon's doing a little, like, notification sign-ups. You can... You want to get your hands on one?
Oh, I'm keeping my ear to the ground for one. For sure.
That's what I like. We got our boy Josh in the chat, Ginger Daddy and Big Bad Buzz Pinoy. We love you, Josh. We love you, doggy dog. Now, then next, we got a new gameplay trailer for Callisto Protocol, and that shit looked fucking wild.
Oh, dude, it's going to be so good. Oh, it's going to be such a good... Such a good game, dude.
It's going to be so good. Creator Glenn Schofield appeared on stage to give fans another quick hit of information about the game, this time highlighting and subsequently showing off the gore. They had heads exploding. They had a dude's body getting chopped in half. They had all sorts of shit in this fucking trailer. Go watch that on YouTube. You don't want to miss it. It's a combat gameplay demo. Josh Callisto Protocussy. Stop.
Every time.
Saint, I bought one and gave it to my siblings since they gave me my current gen console. Saint, you gave someone a PS5? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. You're much better than I am. The Lords of the Fallen gets a new title and trailer. So previously titled Lords of the Fallen 2, what's now just called The Lord of the Fallen. The Lords of the Fallen. Lords. It's plural. My mistake. Received a new trailer during opening night live. Developer Hexworks Studio is still targeting a 2023 release date for the Souls-like, and the trailer shows even more of the gritty and dark fantasy that fans of the genre are sure to love. We talked about Lords of the Fallen the other day.
Yeah, but yeah. I just mentioned it.
yeah. Super, super interesting. I didn't realize this game had enough demand. Like, to be completely honest, I didn't think it had enough demand.
It wasn't, like, the developer has done really well for itself. Like, they ended up, like, so I don't know if you ever got your hands on The Surge or The Surge 2. That same developers as Lords of the Fallen. They're definitely, they have, like, a smaller, more niche community. But I actually, like, I really enjoyed Lords of the Fallen quite a bit, actually, and, like, pl- played it. I definitely like played all the way through like 100% of the game. I'm actually, I'm pretty excited to get my hands on the sequel.
I like it. I like it, my man. Yeah. Next up, we had Moving Out 2 was announced. A short and sweet trailer revealed that Moving Out 2, a sequel to 2020's couch co-op classic, is officially in development. In a sizzle reel revealing various moving jobs, Moving Day 2 was confirmed to include online co-op. Holy shit, finally.
Gonna be like the thing that was missing from the first one that everybody wanted.
Exactly. Next up, we got a brand new story trailer for Hogwarts Legacy. A brand new trailer was shown for upcoming Harry Potter universe game, Hogwarts Legacy. So I'm focusing on the game story. Players will seemingly be tempted into using a dark magic at Hogwarts, which, surprise, surprise, doesn't end well. I don't want to go into this too deeply, but I have got some weird feelings about this villain. And some very, very, because I watched it and then I saw some commentary around it. And then there was some conversation circling around it that this villain was very frustratingly anti-Semitic in some connections to the Raw story. Again, I'm not going to dive too into it because it's just conversation around like the overall like issues with, you know, deep fucking layers of what's going on with this game. But it looked pretty. For what it is. I know that you're excited to be playing that, Garrick. Fuck turfs. But I know that.
Fuck turfs.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to what that conversation is. You'll have to
let me know. I'll try to give you some links. There is some conversations around it and stuff like that. That was kind of like people being very off put of like why they do it that way. So I'll send you some links once I find some. I can throw it back your way. Okay. Next up, we got a look, official reveal actually from the new Tales from the Borderlands. Despite being announced back in April, leaked last week and confirmed by Gamescom's opening night live host Jeff Keighley ahead of the show, the new Tales from the Borderlands game has finally received its official reveal trailer. The new game can be played on October 21st. Are you stoked for that, Garrick? Are you stoked for some Tales of the Borderlands? I don't know if that was your flavor or not, but
no. Like it completely removes the things I play Borderlands for, which is
bang bang bang
skill trees and guns and loot. Like
that's fair. Some things I know I definitely you're fucking stoked for. Dying Light 2 Stay Human expansion detail. Dying Light 2's first major story expansion called Bloody Ties received a new trailer during opening night live and a release date of October 13th this year. Garrick, we have just a little over a month to finally beat Dying Light 2 for me and Devin so that we can dive
into there. We'll get there.
We will. We will. I promise you, we will. Okay.
I'm super stoked for this, honestly. I'm frustrated though, because they also said that there was gonna be a new chapter coming and then they like shifted gears. And like I've been hearing more about this and they haven't mentioned anything about the new chapter. And I want the new chapter because that's what's gonna keep me busy leading up to this, because like I already went and got some of the cool Easter egg weapons, like I have all the dev weapons and stuff now. Like I didn't win, and you know, and I'm still doing collectibles and stuff, sure, but like I need content and substance. So give me the next chapter. Like the bounties can only keep me so busy.
Goddamn, ain't that facts?
And I want to play your game.
And then next we got a reveal for a new game called Tortuga, a pirate's tale, basically what One Skull and Bones should have been. A very brief trailer for Tortuga, a Pirate's Tale was released during opening night live. Not much is known about the game at the moment, but is confirmed to be in development for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. Very, very quick revealable trailer there, and I was hoping that it ends up being the pirate game that Garrick and I have been asking for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye on this one. There just wasn't enough, like, it was a super short trailer. I want to see a little bit more from it. But yep. It made the list. It made the list.
Sure did. Marauders enters early access this October. This is a tactical first-person shooter. Marauders received a sliver of new gameplay and confirmation of an October release date for entering early access. Esco, you know what I'm asking for? Some Despacito. I love you, Asuka. I love you so much. And then next, we had Sonic Frontiers officially confirmed for November. Despite the release date and trailer leaking from Sega earlier today, Opening Night Live has now officially confirmed that Sonic Frontiers will be released on November 8th, with a new trailer was also released that focuses on the game's story. I don't know. Are you excited about...
Dude, this fucking game looks so... It looks like it has zero.
It looks so fucking mid, right? It looks more mid than mid.
Bland. God, so dude. Fucking bland.
Breaks my fucking heart, man. Breaks my goddamn heart. Another game that does not look bland to me, actually. Under the Waves, revealed from Quantic Dream and Parallel Studio, okay? A new narrative-driven adventure game called Under the Waves has been announced from Quantic Dream and Parallel Studio. Under the Waves follows Stan, an oil company diver in the 1970s, who's exploring the depths of the North Sea. It is expected to release in 2023. Now listen, fuck Quantic Dream, specifically the owner. Okay, because that guy's a fucking loser. But goddamn, do they make some good games?
They have some of the best like narrative-driven games
ever
out there. Dude, goddamn, are you gonna play this? Are you gonna play this?
100%. I'm like a day one Quantic Dream game guy. To be completely honest,
dude, I don't think I can. Mm. I don't.
And you know, I love my nautical things, man.
I love my nautical things too, man. But this takes place underwater. Okay, Look, I played Subnautica, and I had a genuine panic attack when I was just like paddling out, and I turned around and I couldn't see my fucking ship anymore, dude. Yep. I mean, just like fucking soul crushing, chest imploding dread. Like, I have such fucking bad thalassophobia. And, like, oh, my God. Like, that whole, like, I watched the trailer, and I was, like, sweating, dude. Yep. I'm just like,
Yep. Give it to me, like, Garrick. Let's do it. Let's do it, dog. You know what I'm saying? Let's play it, dude. I'm telling you, man. Esco says, how are you guys? Dude, we're doing okay. I think we're doing all right. We're doing all right out here. Devin is a traitor, which is why he's not here tonight. But what is here tonight is a Goat Simulator 3. Getting first gameplay. I don't think I really need to say anything else. November 17th is the release date. Yeah, it is the third Goat Simulator. Actually, it looked pretty fucking good, to be completely honest with you.
Goat Simulator is good fun. Like, if you've played Goat Simulator, you understand it is you're going to be playing. Goat Simulator. You're a goat. Yep. You simulate everything, not just goat stuff.
But instead we have some monkey stuff, because Return to Monkey Island arrives in September. Return to Monkey Island is officially arriving on International Talk Like a Pirate Day, otherwise known as September 19th. A new trailer was released that shares details on the game's pre-order bonuses, headlined by horse armor that the developer clarified will not impact gameplay in any way. So, Monkey Island, if you're into Monkey Island, go ahead and check that.
As a matter of fact... the quote they use in the trailer was that, like, the pre-order armor literally sits in your inventory. It's just a thing. Like, it's just there. It's just there. Here, you did the thing, so it's just going to be, you can look at it now. I thought that was fucking hilarious, personally. Yeah, like,
that's fucking great, dude.
And just such a fuck you. It's like, if you pre-order this, here, we're going to give you something you can't, it does nothing. It just shows that you hit buy before everybody else did.
Well, speaking of some existential dread you were talking about earlier, Gary, Subnautica developer reveals a sci-fi game written by Brandon Sanderson. Subnautica developer Unknown Worlds has announced a digital tabletop strategy game written by Brandon Sanderson called Moonbreaker. Players can enjoy the Warhammer 40,000 style gameplay with a StarCraft style look when its early access arrives on PC and Mac this fall. Are you gonna play it?
Hell yeah, dude. Yep. I saw the gameplay trailer and I was just like, not me, who's going to be sitting there 110 hours in and all I've fucking done is paint miniatures, not even played the game, bro.
Right.
Like, oh my God. Like, the fact that like, I like how they like glossed over that real quick in the trailer too. I was just like, I saw that. Mm-hmm. And like, you get to paint the miniatures, bro. Like, I saw that. And then they like, I guess it's like a big, they touted it as like a pretty big part of the game, and like they even went on in the interview to like say that like every single miniature you see in the gameplay trailer was painted using the in-game tool.
Fuck yeah, it was,
like,
dude.
It just, like, it's a cool, it's a super cool digital board game concept, and I fucking love board games, dude. So, like, I'm really interested to see how this turns out.
It'll be cool to see. I'm going to burn through some of these really quick because we're kind of cutting it short on time here. Friends versus Friends is a colorful new card deck-based shooter and perhaps one of the most bizarre combinations of genres. Friends versus Friends was revealed to be a first-person shooter with a card deck-based ability system. The trailer was as colorful as it was confusing, but publisher Raw Fury assures that it's a ton of fun. It looked interesting.
It looks fun.
Another thing that looked really fucking cool, though, Lies of P. Fuck yeah. Is a new Souls-like set in a Dark Bell Epoque world. A super dark trailer was released for Lies of P, an upcoming Souls-like game set in a Bell... How do you fucking pronounce this world? Epoque? Epoque? Belle Epoque.
I'm pretty sure it's pronounced like Epoque.
Epoque.
Yeah, like similar. I'm pretty sure it's pronounced similar to that.
Based on the story of... Pinocchio. The player must guide him on his journey to become a real boy, and a short gameplay reveal definitely gave off, dare we say, Bloodborne vibes. This game is so fucking Bloodborne. I'm buying this goddamn day one, Garrick. Holy shit.
I hope it, like, exceeds the expectations of the other Bloodborne-esque game I recently played, because that shit left a sour taste in my mouth.
Timezia.
Yeah, dude, that shit.
I know.
Like, dude, but I'm hoping between this and Steel Rising coming out next month, I'll get like a good fix.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. Stranded: Alien Dawn revealed with a cinematic trailer. This actually looks super fucking interesting. Described as a planet survival sim, Stranded: Alien Dawn comes from the developers of City Builders, including Surviving Mars. What a really pretty trailer. Really pretty trailer. And yeah, then we got a look at some game that blew my fucking mind.
This was probably the trailer I'm most stoked on. This was a highlight, the highlight trailer for me.
I popped the fuck off for this game. Sand is Your Weapon in Atlas Fallen. Focus Home Interactive has announced Atlas Fallen, a new game from Deck 13 where the player's primary weapon is sand. A trailer showed two warriors fighting Monster Hunter style beasties using shape-shifting weapons made of sand and sand-based abilities.
Oh. It looked so fucking rad. Okay, so Deck 13 is the original developer, so they made the original Lords of the Fallen game.
Yes. The
sequel's new studio. Sequel is being made by a new studio. But Deck 13 made Surge 2 and Lords of the Fallen.
Okay.
So like this is coming from the same developer. I think, dude, honestly, this had like a really interesting and unique aesthetic. And they're like, yo, do you wanna be like Gaara but a superhero in knight armor? We got you.
It's like literally, what more could you and I ever fucking ask for? You know what I mean?
Like, I was just like, oh, just bundle that up. I'll mail you a check. Like,
yep.
I don't even need a release date.
Dated and everything.
Whatever I get, it's fine.
Write in the date for me if you don't mind.
Yeah, just damn, yeah, whatever's cool. Yeah, you could just draw that directly out of my bank account on release day. Like, we're good to go.
God damn. Esco says, imagine getting your day fucked with having sand thrown in your eyes. For real, right?
Fucking sand.
Next, Homeworld 3 received a new gameplay trailer. Again, they covered this egregiously last year during E3, so we're not fucking worried about this. Genshin Impact trailer shares first look at Sumeru region, so we got a new area for Genshin Impact 3. Job Simulator VR developer unveils a new game from Alchemy Labs. I don't realize that's how it's pronounced. clue what the fuck it's about, but it has something to do with eating, so... Sure, we'll find out more soon. Genshin Impact's devs Honkai Star Rail receives a story trailer. We saw this earlier this year. If you want to see more of that, go check that out. High on Life trailer reveals incredibly insulting weapons. So we got a new trailer for the game High on Life, the game from Rick and Morty co-creator Justin Roiland, revealed two of the game's incredibly insulting weapons. I'm pretty interested in this game. I'm a little interested in this game.
This one's kind of been on the list for like a minute for me, just because I kind of like, I like Justin Roiland kind of as like a creator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. Like, the one thing I noticed about, like, the trailer, and I don't know if they... I'm hoping they strung it out because they were trying to, like, display mechanics, but that boss fight seemed like it fucking took a long time. So...
That's for damn sure. That's for damn sure, my friend. The Expanse gets a new trailer and release window. So The Expanse, the upcoming game from Telltale Games, has received a new trailer showing off more of the game's story alongside a summer 2023 release window. I'm a fucking huge Telltale fan, and this...
And it's based off of The Expanse.
It's based off The Expanse, which I need to watch still. I need to watch still. I know you've been telling me it, I gotta fucking watch the show. But this looked fucking incredible, dude. Like, seeing them come away from that story comic book style, like that super super comic booky style that they were doing there for a long time, and going this, I'm like thoroughly impressed that they're moving into this. I cannot wait to see more game.
I wonder if a lot of this has to do with, like, the fact that, I mean, Telltale's technically closed their doors for a time, right?
Yes,
like they were purchased and reopened.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, now they've got, like, I wonder, they probably got, like, some, like, you know, some of the old people there, I'm hoping, just, you know, kind of keep the hearts of the games intact. But, like, maybe they got some fresh blood in there that's kind of spicing up, like, things with new techniques and stuff.
Right.
Which I think would
right.
be really interesting, because Telltale does really good. Like, their stories have always been, like, great. That's, like, their thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And I'm fucking all the way here for it, my friend. I'm also all the way here for this next one. Killer Clowns from Outer Space is becoming a multiplayer game. This this 3v7 title will arrive for PC via Steam, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S in early 2023. Oh my God. They are giving us Evil Dead, Evil Dead, where we get to play as three killer clowns from outer space. Garrick, dude.
Like, you've seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space, right?
Absolutely, I have, dude, a million times.
One of the best worst horror movies ever,
yes, period.
Like, so fucking bad.
Stupid alien spacecraft circus tent.
Ridiculous. Oh, their stupid circus tent. Like, oh my God. Like, it was such... I love that movie. I freaking love that movie. I'm really, really excited that this is getting turned.
And it looked great. Game. This game looks great,
dude. It looks like it's going to be, like, in line with, like, the Evil Dead thing. I hope it's more, like, in tune with that than, like, necessarily, like, you know, Dead by Daylight. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I know. I sure fucking hope. Let's go. How much? It'll probably end up being 70. Let's be real.
Probably.
Next up, Scars Above gets a new cinematic trailer. Scars Above, a dark sci-fi action game. The Moon's Haunted. Got a new story and gameplay trailer at Gamescom, showing off its cinematic storyline and alien combat. Revealed during Gamescom Opening Night Live, we got a look at the story behind the game, which sees an alien structure appear above Earth and human explorers coping with the nightmares that they find when they explore its seeming home. Moon's Haunted. Fallout and Skyrim.
One on the list, too.
Honestly, I'm kind of here for this. Scars Above look pretty fucking dope. You ask me, though, you know, I'm kind of here for this. Fallout and Skyrim veteran Jeff Gardner is making a new RPG, and it's called Word Song. Weird song. There you go. I don't know how the fucking Polish people pronounce it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm from Holland. Isn't that weird?
W Y R is like that's like a Gaelic letter combination.
It probably is. It probably totally is. Actually, I think about it.
I'm pretty sure. Like weird. Like weird, yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm like fairly confident on that one, actually. But dude, I have no idea what this game is about, but I want it.
Though only a brief tease was given, the game will be set in a dark fictional version of historical Portugal, full of conspiracies and supernatural goings. Did we both get it wrong? Is that a Portuguese? Is that a Portuguese word? And we just fucked that up completely. We named like three different places.
No, weird is weird is definitely Old English. Like that. Like
sure.
That's definitely weird. It's definitely a weird song, okay. Like old English. Okay. But like right. that part all of right. I definitely believe that. Like I didn't know that it was set in like a Portuguese setting, which is super fucking cool. Actually,
now we know.
But like I think this is gonna be really fucking interesting. I thought this had something to do with space, maybe. But like I told you, I fucking had no idea what it was about. It no just idea. Like it had I like a, it. It had a vibe that I was here for.
Mm-hmm. I just want it. That's all I need. Got another look, or actually a closer look, at Age of Empires 4, Ottomans and Malians got announced there. Gotham Knights launching earlier than expected was then looked at. The game will now be released early on October 21st. Garrick, I know you're excited. I know you're excited, my friend.
Dude, the villains trailer was fucking dope.
See Mr. Freeze? Like, see Mr. Freeze?
Dude, Mr. Freeze is dope. I'm actually really quite excited that they went with Clayface.
I honestly did not think they would.
Yes, thank you for grabbing a different villain other than like the regular ones. Like
I was kind of
two iconics and then like your left fielder.
I was kind of hoping for some Solomon Grundy, but that's just me. That's just me. You know what I'm saying?
Clayface is pretty close. Same sort of realm. Yeah. Dude, but like if we get DLC or anything, it could be pretty rad. I'm actually like, since Hogwarts Legacy isn't releasing this year, I've like shifted all of my hype from that to Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm like all in on it now. So,
fuck yeah, dude. We got a real cool game here. Where Winds Meet is an open world set in medieval China. Everstone Games has announced Where Winds Meet, an open world RPG set in the Ten Kingdoms era of medieval China. A reveal trailer showed the game's stunning environments alongside various gameplay elements, including hunting, combat, horseback riding, and more. Holy shit, this game. I think this one was the one where I was like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, I was real hype on this goddamn game, dude, out of
yes,
all of them.
Yes, martial arts, please. Thank you.
Right, right.
Money, take it.
Thank you. I got tea because my throat's feeling a little bit goofy today. and then we got an announcement, a very weird one. Hideo Kojima is starting a podcast.
I'll check it out.
Metal Gear Solid and Death Stranding creator Hideo Kojima is starting a podcast called Brain Structure. It will be available in English and Japanese with episode 1 being released on September 8th. I'm here for it. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to listen to that shit.
Fuck it. I'm going to do it audio only in Japanese. I don't even know Japanese.
Goddamn, right? You know what I'm saying? Park Beyond is a new amusement park sim. We got plenty of those, but apparently we're getting another one.
People that are into the genre are rather excited about the way this one is presenting, though. I have seen positive buzz around it. None of us will be playing it, but hey.
Josh is about the Kojima podcast. It's just people asking him more about MGS and PT when he's just trying to live his life.
Dude, for real.
It's for real, dude. We got a look at a Pokemon Mini Cooper. Cool.
Yeah, calling this a concept car was fucking bold.
Yeah, it's... God, man. 2D to 3D hack and slash Phantom Hellcat was revealed. Brand new developer Ironbird Creations was revealed during opening night live alongside a tease of its first project, a new game called Phantom Hellcat with hack and slash combat taking place in a cursed theater. Phantom Hellcat stars Jolene, who breaks a seal on said cursed theater, prompting the darkness to take her mother hostage. Cool. Yeah, I wasn't like crazy sold on this one, but you know, sure.
This one was like, I need more gameplay.
Now, this next one, I know you and I have been talking about how hype we are. Warhammer 40K Dark Tide received a new trailer. We're playing the fuck out of this game, Garrick.
This game looks fucking tight. Like, just give me... I don't even give a shit if it's an oversaturated genre now. Like, there was a period of time where, like, Left 4 Dead 2 died. And then, like, co-op shooters just fucking went away.
Yep.
Like, just away. And then, like, guess what? Back for Blood happened, and I've gotten at least 4 other ones since then, and they've all been at least like 7 out of 10s. Like at least.
God damn.
Like, just give it to me. Give it to me.
Let's fucking go. Josh, you're gonna be jumping in with us. I already know it. Dwarf Romantic is coming to Switch. Critically acclaimed building strategy game, Dwarf Romantic, is officially coming to Nintendo Switch. Game has an overwhelmingly positive rating on Steam following its initial release in April. And then we got to look at a game called Black Tales, newest game, shows the good and evil of witchcraft, Black Tale. Wow. It's a hell of a game name. Gamescom opening night live snuck in a lovely longer trailer for Black Tale, a game about witchcraft and the legend of Baba Yaga that we've seen in showcases before, but never to this extent.
This looked pretty cool.
This looked pretty fucking
too,
cool.
Honestly. Like lore-wise, like lore and aesthetic, I was just like, I am very, very interested in this. Real quick, Josh in the chat says, I've never played the Warhammer series. The Warhammer universe is fucking absolutely massive. Like, you don't need to know anything. Just know that it's going to be gritty and violent and fun.
All you need to know is that if it moves gross, kill it. That's all you need to fucking know.
The Imperium.
This game is effectively going to be like 4-player co-op Doom. That's all it is. And like... Mm-hmm. That's all I need to play 4-player co-op Doom with the boys. You know what I'm saying? And Esco, you know what I'm saying? The other boy, you know what I'm saying? Give me that, doggy dog. The Outlast Trial gets a creepy new trailer. Outlast prequel, The Outlast Trials has received a new trailer and gameplay, showing for the first time a proper look at the wonderfully creepy setting and story. The closed beta is also on the way just in time for Halloween, as players can sample the game early from October 28th to November 8th. Hard pass for me, dog, because I do not with Outlast.
I didn't know we were getting like another piece of Outlast content.
Of course we are. Dude, those games sell so good.
I know they do, but like, I can't, bro. Like, I...
yeah, hard pass for me, dude.
I remember playing the first one, like, and I was in the asylum, and... and the fucking battery died on my camera and I was just like, and we're finished playing this fucking game. Like, I was just like, because guess what, I ain't going into that dark fucking hallway to find another one, and I never played it again. That was call that right there.
God damn. Ex-Battlefield developers' new shooter revealed as The Finals. Embark, a new studio created by ex-Battlefield developers, has teased their new game, The Finals, a new competitive shooter. Described as a shooter wrapped in a game show format. The game got the briefest of teases, but we saw gunplay, environmental destruction, and a sword hitting a man so hard that he exploded into coins. Full reveal is coming later in September. And then finally, Garrick, we got the big one, daddy. We got the big one, baby boy. Dead Island 2 is real and just a few months away. Holy motherfuck. Oh, God. Dead Island 2 was revealed once more at opening night live and brought not only a new trailer, but new gameplay and a release date of February 3rd, 2023. The long-awaited sequel features 6 playable characters, what was described as a pulpy and irreverent tone, and a ton of ways to kill zombies. Garrick, are we jumping in?
Zombies! Yeah, so apparently, like, I misspoke the other day when, like, we saw the initial, like leak about this. But it's Techland's actually not involved.
Not involved, no.
Nope. Yeah. No. They are fully focused on their 5-year like plan with Dying Light, which I respect for them. And so, like, the other developer that was a part of the original Dead Island just took over full development of this.
Yep.
And so it looks. I'm glad that like it's got it. It really looks like it maintained like the Dead Island like identity, where it's really like it's not going to be like a dark game. It's almost going to be like Zombieland-ish.
Yeah,
which is like what I think what people want from Dead Island is like it's because it's in that campy wheelhouse, right? But it's still super gory and violent and fun, which is what you want from like a zombie slaying video game. And if it's zombies, I'm playing it, dude.
Let's fucking go, Garrick. Let's fucking go, dude. Saint says also, excuse me, you two. Who's the one with TGC as the nickname? Listen, Saint, you're not one of the boys. You're above the boys. Okay, you're floating above us all because you are the great cock, okay? That's who you are. The great Vady one.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, you can't be a part of the boys and be the great cock. Like, it's its own
title. It's your own category, okay? You're floating above all of us.
It comes with a level of omnipotence that, like, you simply can't deny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're Batman sitting in the chair, all right? In the chair. the chair, what was it? The omniscient chair? Is that what it was? The throne of omniscience? Something shit like that? It comes and goes. Nice, Esco. Nice. What also comes is our next segment, but before we move on our next segment, I want to remind everyone that they can support us over on our Discord channel, where soon they can get early access on episodes before they go public. They can write on the show, and they can get this episode ad-free. But if they're hearing this, they're probably onto our Discord. So for now, here's a word from our sponsors.
This piece of good cracking content is brought to you by Glide Mousepads. The world is changing, and the demand for PC gaming and work from home setups has never been as wild as it is right now. Having the best of the best in PC accessories only makes it easier to get your work done before you jump right back into the fray of the digital sea. And Glide knows exactly how to make it happen for you. Glide Mousepads is the future industry leader in mousepads, offering beautiful, smooth, and waterproof products made with eco-friendly materials and non-slip rubber in a variety of sizes that are guaranteed to help you get the next win. Is your battle rug just looking a little crusty? Is the mouse just not as smooth as it used to be? Or are you just looking to get rid of that ergonomic mouse pad your grandma got you for Christmas? Well, then I think we have the mouse pad for you. You can go to glidemousepads.com right now and use code Kraken for 15% off the Founders Edition mousepad in every size available. Again, that's code K-R-A-K-E-N, Kraken, for 15% off any Founders Edition mousepads today. Our next sponsor is Rogue Energy. Late nights are pretty much commonplace for us content creators, and any of us here at GK can attest that sometimes you're just too damn tired to even think about how not to be tired anymore. Lucky for us, though, Rogue has figured out how to give us those late nights and even earlier mornings the supercharge we all need. Rogue Energy is a low-calorie, no-sugar energy formula that is the perfect alternative to sugar-filled canned energy drinks and sodas. Every formula Rogue Energy produces is designed with optimal levels of high-quality ingredients and no chalky textures. Being the only gaming drink company in the world with four unique product lines to suit your task at hand, Rogue Energy strives to improve that in-game performance of gamers, streamers, and content creators everywhere. Look, I love this stuff. I've got two tubs at home right now. Your boy is drinking on some caramel vanilla latte in the mornings and sipping on some mango pineapple throughout the day. And if you are wondering how you can get these two dope flavors, well, I'm gonna tell you. You can head over to rogueenergy.com and use code GKRAKEN for 10% off your purchase on any shaker or formula tub of your choosing. That is GKRAKEN for 10% off any shaker or formula tub of you'd like. And now, back to your regularly scheduled Good Kraken content.
Oh, God, fuck. What's happening, everybody? Welcome back. Scott, you know, just turn that bitch right off. You know what I'm saying? Garrick, my friend, we got some fun stuff we're going to be talking about. We got very, very, we're getting real late on time. So you and I are just going to burn right through this. We have next up, guys, hands on deck. Hands on Deck is our little hands-on segment where we talk a little bit about a game or movie or show that we've recently played or watched. We pitch it to you guys at home. We pitch it to each other. We try to convince each other whether or not we liked it, hated it, or if we should probably watch it as well. Garrick, what have you been playing or watching this week, my friend?
Well, following our conversation last Saturday about our discussion about the future of the DCEU, I got like the superhero bug, and dude, it's so fucking dry here today. I'm so sorry. I'm super coffee.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
My throat's bugging real bad. So I got like the superhero bug. So I decided, I was just like, you want to know what? I was like, I would love to catch up on some Doom Patrol or some Teen Titans or some Titans. Excuse me, not Teen Titans, Titans. And but I couldn't. I was like, well, I had to pick one. So I was like, well, I'm further along with Doom Patrol, so I decided to go with Titans. So I like completely binged watch season 2, and I am like cruising my way into season 3 at this point. I'm about halfway into season 3. And this show fucking frustrates me so much, man. So much.
Why is that?
because every time, every episode, dude, it literally re fucking iterates everything I talked about on Saturday.
Yep.
I'm just like, God damn it. I was like, this pisses me off because the casting is fucking great. I like all the fucking characters, but like, there's just something about the writing every once in a while where I'm just like, yo, like the biggest thing, without giving away spoilers, because like, I actually really do like the show. It's just because I like it so much, when I see bullshit writing in it, it just angers me.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
like, right? Because I'm a fan. Because like, I don't know if about you, but like, I lived on Teen Titans on Cartoon Network. Like, I thought that, like, dude, it was such a good show, and the writing was so good, and, like, that's what made me, like, love the Teen Titans. And so getting to see, like, most of those characters represented in live action, with, like, pretty good representation for the most part, like, I'm, like, really happy with the way it went. But, dude, they fucked Starfire. They did her such a disservice to her character, and it has literally nothing to do with her casting, because the person who plays Starfire kills it. Fucking love her and just fucking but like,
oh fuck, right? Yes.
But dude, like, they do like this weird thing around her character where like a bunch of shit just constantly happens for her story off fucking screen, and it makes me real mad.
Ah, come on.
And like, dude, the biggest culprit that like you can't, like, you cannot ignore it, especially if you're binging it the way that I'm watching it. In the season finale of 2, she like she's going through some like emotional trauma. Some things are happening in her Temerian life that like were like she's like performance anxiety with her powers, more or less, is kind of what like you can equate it to.
Sure.
And then literally like fucking intro scene, teen like the Titans all formed up, ready to go. She's got a super suit now. Didn't have one of those last fucking season.
Great.
And her powers are working perfectly. No explanation at all. Literally don't even touch on it. Also, 2 or 3 episodes later, everybody seems to know who Blackfire is, but they definitely don't have a fucking on-screen conversation about it.
Fucking course.
So,
dude.
Like, there was this whole fucking story arc that just happened in between seasons 2 and 3 with Starfire. And, like, it's really frustrating because Blackfire is a focus of this season. She's one of the main the main antagonists. Like, season 3 is about Blackfire and Red Hood. Like, that's kind of how I've been able to, like, pair it. Like, those are the two big ones right now. And, like, they just B-plotted the shit out of Starfire's, like, stuff. And, like, they're not even in San Francisco or at Titan Tower anymore. They're in Gotham. And, like, they're just trying to do, like, all these storylines at once in, like, a really, like, it's a super messy way. The thing is, like, there's such good moments in the show. Like, I don't know if, like, you saw my tweet last night where I was just, like, all caps. I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. And that's because my fucking, oh, they did my boy in.
Yeah. Okay.
They did my boy, yeah. But like the way that it happened, I was just like, no, like real clever way. They're like they set it up and they presented it to you in like this really clear way, and you're just like, fuck, dude, I can't leave it off on that.
Right.
And then like I started the next episode, and then like the repercussions of like that character's like snafu with like fucking is resolved in the first 10 minutes, and I'm just like, I'm going to bed. I was like, this fucking show makes me mad. And I'm just like, I don't know. I would have lingered on that in episode or two, but that's fine. And there's just like, it's really weird because the casting is so good. And everybody like, dude, the guy who plays Dick Grayson in Titans, I'm looking him up right now. Brenton Thwaites, like, okay. The dude looks like comic book Nightwing.
He does.
Like,
he really does.
When
he really, really
his
fucking
suit,
does.
Dude. I was just like, yes. And like, honestly, I love Tegan Croft as Raven and Dlop, that is who plays Starfire. Like, great job. I even like Ryan Potter as a Beast Boy. Honestly, the only person that pisses me off is Kerwin Walters as Jason Todd, and I don't even think it's his fault. I think they just wrote Jason Todd as a little fucking bitch in this.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
Like, I think that like they like Anakin Skywalker'd him a little bit in like his writing. Yeah, that describes it. That's kind of the way they went with it, and it's like really frustrating. But like they do kind of like improve on his character development and his story arc later. It's just like the show's so hot and cold for me because like I love it, and it's like one of those shows where like I love to hate, and I feel like I feel that way about like almost all of like DC's like TV shows.
That's fair, Garrett.
And but like the thing is like the characters are great. It's only three seasons. It is still good enough that it got renewed for a fourth, and you can tell they're kind of like they're trying to like correct some of the weird writing paths in season three and solidify like a storyline going into season four, and that I can appreciate. But like also, where the fuck did Rose go? She literally disappeared for a whole season. Nobody talked about it at all. Like literally the character just disappeared from the universe. Like just gone. By the way, like season two, like she's part of the Titans, super souped up, like literally like the whole shebang, like part of the crew. Season three, gone. Also no explanation. And that's why this show pisses me off. Watch Titans at your own risk. It's like one of those, like if you're willing to put up with the bullshit that was the Arrow, you're going to love this show. Like, that's all I'm going to say. There you go. Watch Titans if you like the Arrow. Punish yourself that way.
That's fair. Saint, on that note of Elden Ring hurting me, I'm going to bed. Good night, y'all. We love you, Saint. You have a good night. We hope you sleep tight. You know what I'm saying?
Night, Saint.
Dream of us. You know what I'm saying? Garrick.
Titans.
I'm going to expose myself here. Okay, I'm going to expose myself. Because over this past week, I've been up in my feely heelys and decided to just dive right into some rom drums, and starting with one Purple Hearts on Netflix. So, Garrick, I need you to understand that this fucking movie's dog shit, dude.
He's so dog shit, dude. I'm glad we both had fucking frustrating viewing experiences over the last weekend. It is. Like, fuck.
Okay, so here's the deal. The entire synopsis of this movie is as such. Hot singer girl meets dick regular white boy Marine, okay? They both need some shit. They decide to commit fraud and have a fake marriage, in which in this fake marriage they end up falling in love with each other. That's it.
Such a fucking stupid plot.
And that is, listen, this is what I signed up for, okay? I was like, you know what, fine,
you knew what you were getting into.
If that's what I'm getting into, bullshit. Totally fine, okay? Here's the thing.
Rotten Tomatoes 30%. Okay, I feel good about that.
The lovely actress, okay, actually does an all right job in this movie. She actually does okay in this movie. The guy, he does all right. Like, he's all right. Okay, the side characters, at best, right? My issue was not so much the acting. My issue was not so much just the plot, generally speaking. My issue is that they use this movie to basically have this dialogue of, you fucking stupid left-wing liberals have no clue what it's like to serve in the military. That's basically what this movie is, because this movie is her.
That's what it sounds like.
It's her falling in love with this fucking guy who's in the Marines, and she basically just learns how to be a good military wife. A good military wife. That's what this fucking movie is about. So it's her just like,
so he's gonna get deployed, she's gonna go cheat.
Thankfully, no, she does not cheat. Thankfully, she does not cheat. That's if it was in real life, it would be. But
100%. That's why it's a movie.
It is the Book most fucking weird, goddamn, like, dude, it frustrates me so bad, because there were inklings of moments where I was like, this could actually be okay, because they were having some sort of conversations. It was like, oh, I'm a fucking military dude, this is how I perceive the world, and she's like, well, I'm a, you know, Democrat, I'm a liberal chick who lives in fucking California, that's how I perceive the world. And those two opposing factors can fall in love and meet each other and like have like a really great, beautiful relationship, regardless of their different perceptions of the fucking world. That's not where this goes.
That's not
where this goes. He does nothing for her beside give her health benefits. That's it. That's the only thing he fucking gives her, okay? Everything else is her adjusting her life to him. Is her having to fucking help him when he needs fucking help. It's her who fucking suffers some shit because of his past life, and she has to fucking deal with it. There's nothing he fucking does for her. Like, she has to... So it's basically, like, it goes from this movie of, like, oh, it's two people with two differences, and they can meet and fall in love and have a beautiful family, to them being, like... No, you scrubby millennials have no fucking clue. Fuck this movie, man. Fuck this movie.
It sounds like you just described to me a film that, like, unintentionally ended up being some just, like, weird, sad boomer attempt as, like, like, this is how you train your woman manual.
Like, this movie feels like it's written by a 45-year-old man who was in the Marines for like 8 years. And like, and he's writing it to like spite his wife. He's like, this is how you should have done it, honey. This is how you should have done it.
Yeah, no, this whole thing sounds real dumb.
It's so bad, man. It's so goddamn bad. And I'm pissed because I got halfway through when I started realizing what this was turning into. I was like, fuck, I already invested 45 minutes.
Shit, dude. Yeah, dude, I mean, I'm 2.5 seasons into Titans. Like, I'm going to finish the fucking third season. I get it, man. You're just like, we're already here.
Right.
But.
God damn it. Yeah, so, yeah.
Dude, did you watch like a palate cleanser after that? At least, like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah. I went and watched the first few episodes of Modern Love instead to really get some feely heelys going.
Is that reality? That sounds like reality.
No, Modern Love is what's the word for it? I'm having a fucking brain fart right now. Anthology series. It's an anthology series that's based off the New York Times segment called Modern Love, where people like write in, tell, you know, the world about their stories.
It's like people are bringing to life stories like are like columns from a newspaper, like Reddit stories.
Correct.
Sort of thing.
And
like,
so they,
okay, I get you.
They have these actors that come and reenact some of the best stories that were in the modern love news column. And fuck, man, the second episode. Gary, listen, man, I have never watched something that was
kind of interesting. Actually,
I've never watched something that was more fucking relevant to my fucking current life. And I'm telling you, open mouth fucking sobbing to this goddamn episode. OK, because it's Dev Patel. OK, the wonderful actor Dev Patel.
Ooh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And okay. he's getting an interview from a journalist, and she's interviewing him for his dating app. He has a dating app that he's starting. She's interviewing him. Tell me some more about it. And he's like, oh, okay, well, thank you. When's this going to be coming out? She's like, oh, it should be out soon. She's like, I do have a question for you, though. Were you ever in love? And he was like, what kind of question is that, right? And she's like, well, I mean, we might need a minute. He's like, what do you mean? She's like, because I can see that story that you're going to tell me all over your face. So if you don't want me to put it in the story, that's fine, but I want to hear it. And then she turns off the recording, and it goes on to him explaining.
This could be off the record, but we're talking about this.
Right. But then it goes on to explain the story about this guy falling in love with a girl. And over the course of this like 6-month period, they fall in love, they move in together. It's perfect. It's fucking wonderful. And then she comes home one day and admits that she cheated on him. And everything goes fucking spiraling from there. He leaves. Dude, no. It's fucking wild. It's fucking wild.
How long are the episodes?
Probably 30 minutes.
Oh, really? So they're not even like full drama length, like sitcom length?
No. Like 30, 40 minutes tops, depending on the episode. And Esco, to answer your question, free on Amazon Prime. Free on Amazon Prime. And bring the napkins, because you're going to be feeling it. You know what I'm saying? So that was my other palate cleanser there for you, Gary. That was one that was worth watching. And one thing I'm going to go into, it'll be very, very brief because we really fell behind on time today. Garrick, tell the people at home what we have next.
Oh, we are moving into our headlining segment. So you better protect your neck, because we had to do the gallows.
Squelch. Garrick, tonight for the gallows, we're talking very quickly the death of video game guidebooks. Tonight we're just going to talk very, very slimly about some of the our history with video game guides, and some that we've gotten over time, and why we stopped getting them. So, Garrick, Let's start with this, actually. What was your favorite video game guidebook? That you've ever gotten?
The strategy guide.
So
I still have, I've bought quite a few over the, just like over the years. There are three that I for sure still have. I have a leather-bound hardback, actually, yeah, I have a leather, two leather-bound hardback copies. One for Breath of the Wild, actually. This was like literally, and it's the Wii U version of the game, even, like not the Switch version, because I played it on the Wii U originally. And then I also have a Wii U guide for Twilight Princess HD. But the oldest and probably my my most dear, because I don't necessarily remember my first one, but like the one that I still have that's actually my most dear to me is a complete Prima guide walkthrough to a Golden Sun, The Lost Age. It's been fucking like it's been red too, like the corners are all like folded out, like it's been well read through, like I literally have like a fully like my boy emulated version of like The Lost Age like on my phone at all times. Dude, it's like it's my favorite RPG, and so like I'm so glad that was like the one
Golden
like,
Sun
piece of that game. Yeah, dude, Golden Sun, Golden Sun, game. Lost Age.
That's a fucking good favorite game,
RPG, bro.
So good, dude. Which one did you pick? Which character?
That I stuck with at the end, dude. As much as like. I stuck with Felix, bro.
Felix was the boy.
I stay with Felix. Yeah, but I was like, I know you like you unlock everybody like three quarters of the way through the game. I was like, I pretty much kept like the core party from like when you're lighting the lighthouses, like relighting the lighthouses.
Yep. Dude, so my first one was, definitely Final Fantasy VII. Because I actually had
like your first walkthrough?
My first walkthrough book, yeah. It was Final Fantasy VII, way back in the fucking day, because I sucked ass at that game when I was a kid. And eventually found out about guidebooks. It didn't have any clue what the fuck they were prior to that, but I found out about them, asked my mom for it. She said, maybe I'll think about it. We went home, she made me do fucking chores for like 3 weeks. Like 3 weeks, I just worked myself to the ground.
Those motherfuckers were spendy.
They were, man. They were like $50 back in the day, dude. And the cost of the game was like $40.
Yeah, like the guides were like they were like $40. Like, dude, I remember there was like a time where like they got real cheap and they were like $25. But like there was for the most part, like they were fairly like they were no less than $35.
Ever.
Like more expensive if you've got like a collector's print or got like one of the fancier ones that like were like bound in something. Dude, like
So I ended up getting it and it helped me eventually beat Final Fantasy VII, in which turn helped me learn how to better play JRPGs. Cause there was like I was probably like 10. Not even 10. I was 7, 8 when I first picked up Final Fantasy VII. Like right around that age, and I had no fucking clue what I was doing the entire game, like the entire goddamn game.
Oh, so, dude, that's how I felt about Golden Sun. That's why I remember why I bought the guide. Even it was so I could find all the fucking djinn. That was it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I couldn't fucking find, dude. I was like, because the puzzles pissed me off so much as a kid.
Dude, oh god. And so when I first got it, it was because I was struggling at this one part coming out of disc 2 into disc 3. There's a boss that you have to fight in the game. And I just could not fucking figure out why I couldn't beat it. I couldn't beat it. No matter what the fuck I could do, I could not beat this goddamn boss. And then come to find out, it's because I did a bunch of shit wrong. Where I was not level grinding enough. I was zooming through shit and hoping for the best. Well,
that's because 10-year-old you doesn't fucking know what level grinding is. Like, you're just playing the game. Right. You're just like point A to point B, win.
Woo! Right. Like, exactly. And so, when I got it, I finally was like, fuck yeah. Got to Sephiroth, got my ass whooped for about a year and a half. I could not beat fucking Sephiroth, dude.
I felt that. I felt that with bosses. Like, so, dude, fucking Kingdom Hearts did that shit to me.
Dude, Sephiroth in Kingdom Hearts as well. Dude, God damn it, man.
Bitch. Like, he literally, Kingdom Hearts, Sephiroth. I literally, like, when I found out he was the final boss and, like, I ended up going through, he whooped my ass for months.
God, dude, Sephiroth in Kingdom Hearts. That's a whole other fucking conversation.
So did you end up using the guide to beat Sephiroth even? Or like, well, you even, were still, even with the guide, with you were the still guide, getting your ass beat.
Still getting my ass beat. Yeah, that's just a raw ass, hard ass fucking fight. Because unless you're like near level cap in that game, you're gonna have a bit of a hard time. And I was not comprehending shit. But the book helped me a whole lot. But then I didn't get another guidebook until I started playing, I believe, Chrono Cross, if I remember correctly. And that ended up being my favorite guidebook that I'd ever gotten. I still have it somewhere. I haven't been able to find it. It's probably somewhere in like my storage or something like that.
Yeah, mine's in a storage box. I know exactly where it is.
But that was my fucking baby, because Chrono Cross, for anyone that doesn't know, is a wildly big game. Wildly big. Mm-hmm. It has like 56 fucking characters you can unlock in this goddamn game. And if you don't know how to unlock all of them, you will miss a majority of them. You can and will miss a majority of them.
You can and will miss it.
There's some stuff that's like definitely required in the game that's really hard to get. But my favorite part too was just that they had so much, like, this guidebook specifically just had so much good character art in it. So much good fucking character art in it, dude. And that was probably my favorite part, because like Chrono Cross is like, we're talking like teetering that like Final Fantasy VII like blocky character art into like PlayStation 2 era like JRPGs, where they still look like absolute dog shit, right? Absolute fucking dog shit. You can barely out.
I think about fucking Cloud's like twig arms with his fucking like these giant, he had like these fucking block fists, bro.
So fucking good, dude. I like it was it, like Chrono Cross is past that. But like in battle, it's just so clunky looking shit. So being able to see like character art, right, and concept art was so cool. And that was probably like my favorite part of these guidebooks. And this one just had some of the most beautiful fucking artwork. I fucking fell in love with it, man. What's the most recent guidebook you've got? Would it be Breath of the Wild?
Dude, I think Oh, actually, you know what? Maybe no. It wasn't actually a guidebook I bought for myself, but I did purchase a like complete like little guidebook for Animal Crossing New Horizon for my wife, so she could like figure out where everything was. Like it's like
okay,
it's like, dude, it's like it's got like sticky notes in it. It's like all bookmarked.
I love it. Hey, you've got a whole like, ass economy.
It's so
dude.
Weird. Like, it's so weird how like. I was just like, you play games so different than me. Like,
like when my wife plays games,
like it's so like I was just like, God damn, like you're still a teacher even when you're playing a fucking game. Like you can't turn it off. So I think that will probably be the most recent one. I think Breath of the Wild was definitely the last one I bought for myself. Sure, and honestly, the Twilight Princess one I bought around the same time because they actually came out really close to one another, oddly enough.
So, Garrick, my next question for you is, we know that guidebooks are not as in demand as they used to be back in the day, right? Why do you think that is? Why do you think guidebooks are just not really a thing people, like, consistently go after anymore? Because before, we could find a fucking library at GameStop. At EB
Games.
Oh,
dude, there was like a dedicated section. Yeah. Like all the little knickknacks that they had up at the register used to just be like guidebooks.
Yep.
Like I remember, so, like they're literally there was like three shelves, so many.
Oh, this tea. Oh god. So. Oh god, that's a bomb and a half. Oh boy. So why do you think people are just like there's just not as much of a demand for it anymore?
Okay, I mean the short answer is obviously the internet. The long answer for the content is, you know, I honestly think it really started with like there were some websites that like became incredibly popular as like sources of video game information, like dedicated, like well before like YouTube would think. And like, look, there's like one there was a couple of them, but there's one that comes to mind. And you know the one I'm talking about. Game facts, baby.
Let's go, dude. Game facts.
This was like the start of the trouble, right?
Yeah.
Was game facts, dude. I don't know about you. Game facts got me into some fucking trouble. I used to print off whole guys
entire 80 page books of dude, of no like, of notepad
look,
pages.
I don't know who you are, king or queen out there. Who was the person who was willing to buy the Prima guide, somehow make the little fucking logo in like the header
using
because people
type.
Were like using nothing, like no emojis, using nothing but was available on the keyboard,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep.
And then like literally like looking exactly like the Prima guide did, like God fucking bless you. You guys are talented. And then word for word,
yep,
typing it out. So yep, my 12-year-old ass could print that shit out for free at the expense of my parents' printer ink, dude. I mean, literally just stacks, like stacks of guides so thick you couldn't like staple them together.
Yep. Yep.
It was like, dude, I got so heavy into that. Like I was highlighting shit. Like, I kept them. Like, I had, like, a binder. Like, was hole-punching them. Because I didn't want to reprint them, right? Dude, it was, like, 80-page guides, bro. Yep. Like, I got, like, I had, like, a filing system. Like, all my guides were there, dude. I, like, which is probably why I didn't buy so many guides. Was because, like, as soon as I had, like, free roam access to the internet, like, from, like, that 12 to, like, 16.
Yep.
Like, if I had a game question, it was game facts. Immediately.
Yep.
And the beautiful thing is like it's not really used all that much today, but all that information that you went and you looked for as a teen is still there.
It's still there.
All the old articles are
still immortalized.
All the old guides still intact. It's like a beautiful thing, honestly. Mm. It's like a very, very strange piece of preserved internet history. It's like game facts. It's like game facts is literally like a living like internet relic.
Yeah. 100%
it was like
is,
it
dude.
Was the first it was like the first like real game guide, like online game guide source, you know, like and like of course it is like evolved so much since then. Like now there's like gaming journalism, which I assure you did not exist like in the level it existed now in the mid 2000s.
Yep.
Like
yep,
like I didn't like all every game I ever heard about was from a friend.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah.
Like
period.
A friend, like every franchise I ever got into from a teenager was from like a classmate or like a friend or a family member. Like that was it.
Yep.
And then like, you know, like you get into like the later years and like now you're starting to get access where people are like making like visual walkthroughs like in the early YouTube days. And like that became like a new prominent way to like do things or like people like started like showing off things like speed runs. And it just like changed the way that we started presenting like all of these video game walkthroughs. And you get like to the 2010s and like that section in the GameStop, it's getting awfully
real
small.
Slim. Real
bro.
Fucking slim these days,
slim
dog.
Pickings, you know? And there are video game guides that are printed, but like if they are printed now, they're almost always like a collectible that's like it's like first party. Like
yeah.
Back in the
yeah.
day, if you got a game guide, I can almost guarantee you there was a little yellow fold at the top of that corner that said Prima on it. Like Prima yep. Guides was like the thing. Like they were the distributor of like the physical versions of like strategy guides, right?
And now and like, we have entire news, video game news platforms that purposefully hire employees to do walkthroughs of games. They hire them to
like
play through games, and their job is to create those walkthroughs. They were those kids on GameFAQs creating those things, those massive notepad
dude,
sheets.
They showed up with a resume, and like it was just
it was just it. It was just the book. It was
it
the
was
book.
Like they're like, I made this. Like I translated all of these,
uh-huh.
And they're just like, you have the job.
Yeah,
and it's just such a weird thing. And then like, I believe. 2019 is when like they officially and Prima announced like they were just like, yeah, we're actually closing our doors, like we just can't keep up with the times.
Yeah.
And yep. then they got bought. So oddly enough, Prima still exists. Just mostly they just kind of do they evolved. Like they're smaller now because they they're not IGN or GameSpot or Eurogamer, right? Like they showed up to that portion of the game late. But they are still available in like a digital format, and they still do gaming news and walkthroughs and stuff. Yep. It's just we're in like gaming went paperless before everybody else.
Yeah, it sure did. It sure fucking did, man.
It just did. Like as a hobby, like and as like a format, like it went gaming. Like there's whole consoles that are just like fuck the disc, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're not even about it, dude. And like I don't buy physical games anymore. Like I just have no need. Like I'm cool with it, you know?
Not at all. But Shane, what's happening, baby? What's happening, Shane?
What's happening, Shane? But like, dude, it's just like everything. We're in a digital era now, and so like. And just like there's just so many different ways to make guides now. Like there's like you can do like and there's like guides for like every sort of gamer, too. Yeah. Like that's what I think that's like so interesting now is like the book strategy guide is dead because that was for like one person. Right. Like that was for that person that was like just pissed off enough to finally go into the freaking Best Buy to spend the $40 because they wanted to finish the $6 game they bought. Right. You know, and like they did it out of frustration, and so they were willing to read everything. And like now I'm just like, this fucking Elden Ring boss sucks, and I can just be like doop 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 cheese on YouTube, and like I can find 40 different ways to beat that boss now from 30 different content creators.
Yep.
And like it's just all right there and like immediately regurgitated in your face. Like it's crazy. Like it's just like the way we can like we have access to like how to complete video games now is just like, it's so ready. It's actually kind of incredible because they, like you said, there are people that actually like it's their job to write these guides.
Yeah.
But they still do it early access. They're still given access to these games so that like the day the game comes out, like there's a digital walkthrough.
Yeah.
Like available. And like, there's a lot of them that will still, for free. Like IGN does it. Dude, Extra Life does it with fucking every Souls game ever. Like that's like their big thing that they do, right? Dude, you know, like it's crazy. Like they're like, all right, like part of their test copy, their review copy that they're getting is like taking extra time to like go through this game with such detail they can write it out for somebody that's never touched it before. It's like it's weird like how far we've come from just spending $40 on a book, and God, I'm so glad we don't have to spend $40 on a book anymore. I'm so glad that information is free.
Goddamn, dude. Shane says I'm kind of excited for the new Destiny 2 DLC. I fell off for one season. I'm about to hop back in because one shady shy guy was sweet enough to help me get the season pass. IGN already had a full guide on Digimon Survive Day 1. They sure did. They sure fucking did.
Exactly. Yeah, because somebody got a review copy and they passed that review copy off into like to Kendra Bob Joe Schmidt over here. And they're just like, all right, this needs to be ready on release day. And they're like, okay. And so like that dude or ma'am or they literally sat in like a cold dark room for 50 hours to type this for you for free.
Yep.
I mean, they got paid, but it's free for us, which is still cool. Yep.
Exactly, dude. Garrick, thank you, because you basically covered this entire conversation, because like that's like, I don't think there's really much else I can't follow up with that, dude.
I didn't mean to talk the whole time.
No, that's beautiful. You were covering all the fucking beats, dude. So it's like, I miss it sometimes, but I get it. It's just like the internet kind of really changed the game when it came to this.
It's an ease of access thing, man. Like that's really, it's like, it's all about ease of access. Like, yes, there are like special occasions where like, yep, I'm going to buy this as a collector's thing because I want it on my shelf because like, if I were to just stumble across one for God of War, I'd probably buy it. I absolutely have no need for it. I can literally play that game in my sleep, but like, would it be cool on my shelf? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would it be like, especially if it's got dope illustrations, cause that's like another reason to buy. Right.
Yeah, 100%.
But it felt like the life cycle of like of the strategy guide like was just so like Benjamin Button, dude. Like it was just quick.
Yeah, it was.
It was just like it was like because they weren't a big thing, and it was just like 90s, 2000s, massive. And then it was just like mid 2000s. They're like, we're already starting to be done with them because GameFAQs was a thing. Like 2010s, literally phased out. Yeah. Like 2012, like you were literally buying, at this point, you're buying it for the novelty.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people were already in that mindset.
Even up to now. It's just crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's a collectible now. It's not a necessity.
Goddamn. Well, we hope you guys at home find some good guides out there. Let us know some of the guides that you guys have been into lately. Shane, Digimon over Pokemon. That's for damn facts. That's for 100% goddamn facts, my friend. All facts, no paper. You know what I'm saying? Goddamn. I do get them for most of my Square Enix games guides. Exactly. Square Enix has some games that definitely need some walkthroughs, my friend. I'll tell you what. Some other things you guys need, though, is our schedule for the rest of this week. Tomorrow we have 7th Brevin. He's going to be playing Destiny 2 Season of Plunder. Come in, hang out with Devin. It's going to be 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. He will be going over this with our boy Hulk Brogan tomorrow night. If you want to hop in, I think he might be actually looking for a third. So, Shane, you're looking.
Oh yeah, if they're running strikes.
Let Devin know. He's gonna need somebody. And then on Thursday we have another Shipwreck Show live recording. It's gonna be 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. We're gonna be talking whatever the fuck you want to talk about, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, we are.
Fucking go. And then Friday, me and your boy here, Garrick Bartholomew, not yet eaten, are going to be playing for Splash Damage 1 Rumbleverse, which I need to download and play for a little bit tonight. Don't let me forget.
Yeah, you definitely, as much as it would be hilarious for you to go in blind, you probably at least want to have an idea of the control. It's like surprisingly hard.
Yeah, I'm down, dude. I'm super down. Yeah, we'll be playing Rumbleverse. It's going to be a damn good time. Apparently, it's only 2-player squads. So me and Garrett can dive
just
right
singles
into
and duos at the moment. I think they're adding more later,
though. It's going to be fucking fun. And then this Saturday, we have another good Kraken podcast. We're going to be talking our D23 announcement prediction. So D23 is just a couple weeks away. That is the convention which Disney announces a bunch of new stuff, things that they have upcoming for things like Star Wars, for things like Marvel, for things like Disney animated content. We're going to be doing our predictions episode for probably the things that are a little bit more aimed towards like Marvel and Star Wars, but we might have some other things for you guys as well there too. Guys, please let us know what your favorite guidebooks were, why you don't buy them anymore, and which ones you wish would be more prominent these days. Let us know in the comments. Let us know on Twitter. Let us know on our Discord channel. We want to hear from you guys because this has been the Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you wanted to hear live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. If you're riding this wave, you can head on over to our Discord channel where you can submit questions and topics to the show. You can get exclusive content and you can have early access to episodes before they go live on podcasts and video services across the digital sea. You can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, by clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there. We got to get going on out of here, everybody. But until next time, my friends, buy yourself a guidebook.
Play Golden Sun Lost Age is great.
Play Golden Sun. That's a fucking good game. Bye, guys.